This is a Suno India production, and you are listening to Every Indian's Checklist.
In November 2017, Meneka Gandhi, the Union Minister for Women and Child Development, held a press conference.
There has been a campaign, not only national but internationally, in which women have complained about harassment at their workplace. In the last 1 month, this has picked up steam, basically because of allegations that stem from women who work in the field of films. But it has gone on to become a major opening of the Pandora's box, where lots of women have come forward and have given their own experiences.
At the time, Gandhi was responding by and large to the Me Too movement in the US, where women from the Hollywood made serious allegations of sexual harassment against Hollywood producer Harvey Weinstein. About a year later, in September 2018, actress Tanushree Dutta spoke up against actor Nana Patekar for harassing her in the sets of the 2008 movie Horn OK Please. In October 2018, senior journalist Priya Ramani posted a tweet saying that her editor in Asian Age newspaper had sexually harassed her in 1992. The editor was M.J. Akbar. In 2018, Akbar was a union minister. Ramani said that she was harassed while interviewing for her first job at the Asian Age more than 2 decades ago. He resigned a few weeks later. This tweet popularized the Me Too movement in India. As powerful women around the world, and eventually in India too, started speaking up about sexual harassment and abuses by the men in their past, Me Too movement marked a very important point in discourses about speaking up about sexual harassment and reporting them. I'm Vaishali, a reporter for Suno India and your host for this episode of the Suno India Show's Every Indian Checklist. In this episode, we'll help you understand the various provisions under the law to complain against sexual harassment at the workplace. We shall also discuss its limitations. A woman who wants to complain about sexual harassment can complain both under civil and criminal provisions. For this episode, we'll concentrate on the civil provisions, which are particular to the women who face sexual harassment in the workplace. For more on criminal provisions, please listen to the previous episode on Every Indian's Checklist. The link is in the show description. Now back to this episode, we shall talk about the Sexual Harassment of Women at Workplace Prevention, Prohibition and Redressal Act, or the POSH Act. The idea of providing a civil remedy is to help women who don't want to go to the criminal justice system but want to ensure a safe working space. We cannot talk about this act before talking about Bawari Devi. She is from Rajasthan. In 1992, 4 men from the upper caste gang-raped Bawari Devi for preventing the marriage of a 1-year-old girl. Bawari Devi worked as a satin for the Rajasthan government, whose job was to try to persuade families not to marry children. The accused in the case was acquitted by the lower court, and the case is still pending in the higher courts. In the meantime, a Rajasthan-based non-profit, Vishaka, along with other such organizations, filed a public interest litigation in the Supreme Court seeking recognition of sexual harassment at workplace and that all workplaces should be made accountable and responsible to uphold the rights of women. In a landmark judgment, Vishaka versus State of Rajasthan, the Supreme Court defined sexual harassment at the workplace. It shifted the accountability from individuals to institutions and included a redressal mechanism. The judgment was delivered in 1997. What is sexual harassment? The Supreme Court defines sexual harassment as any unwelcome, sexually determined physical, verbal or non-verbal conduct. This includes inappropriate jokes, WhatsApp forwards, personal remarks, commenting on a woman's body and verbal abuse. The Sexual Harassment of Women at Workplace Prevention, Prohibition and Redressal Act, known as POSH Act, which draws from Vishaka judgment, says that sexual harassment is a violation of many fundamental rights. A woman's right to life and to live with dignity, her right to practice any profession or to carry on any occupation, and most importantly, her right to a safe environment free of sexual harassment. Let me play a clip from a video produced by the Ministry of Women and Child Development.
Thank you. he just put his arms around me on my shoulders and then just tried to be, I mean, he was almost over me. Then he would make sure that I leave the organization.
The ministry also published a handbook of sexual harassment at workplace for various stakeholders, including workplaces and the employees, which gives useful details. We shall link it with the show description. What the policy recognizes here is that the experience is subjective. What matters here is the impact of the incident and not the intent of the harasser. Here's a bit more from the ministry video.
The evaluation of sexual harassment charge depends on how a woman sees it. What matters is what you perceived and not what the harasser says he intended.
The video talks about quid pro quo, where the woman is given direct or indirect preferential treatment or faces threat about her employment status. The scope of sexual harassment goes beyond unwanted touching or molestation. One of the explanations given in the materials that were formulated by the ministry are demanding sexual favors, singing songs with sexual connotation, cracking awkward jokes, discrimination, gender bias insult, obscene gestures, displaying porn, unwanted touching, spreading rumors about a person's sex life, among others. The law mandates all organizations to follow this law. Organizations are mandated to set up an internal complaints committee with at least 2 employees and 1 member from the social organization. Half of this committee should comprise women. Here's another clip from the educational video from the ministry.
Every organization has to follow the law on sexual harassment of women at workplace, be it big or small, and whether it has women employees or not.
An organization has to help you lodge a complaint with the complaint committee of the organization that the harasser is working, or even lodge a police complaint against the harasser if you desire.
You can make a sexual harassment complaint against an organization's employee even if you don't work there. You could be anybody, a visitor, a customer, a bystander, or a job seeker, but still be able to complain.
Did you know that the law provides prompt remedy? That's because the complaint committee has to finish the inquiry within 90 days, and the 90-day period starts from when the complaint has been lodged and not from when the incident has occurred.
The law provides for the victim being sent on an extra paid leave for 3 months. Either she or the accused can be transferred. Ideally, the accused and the victim should not be working in the same space. The overriding concern here is to ensure that the woman is comfortable and it is for her benefit. The rules of the law also restrains the accused from reporting on the work performance of the aggrieved woman or writing her confidential report and assigns the same to another officer. So, for example, if the accused is the manager, then he cannot do appraisals or supervise the appraisal. This rule extends to teachers who are accused. They are not allowed to supervise a student victim. While the law appears inclusive in its scope, there has been a little effort from the government bodies to implement it. As per the law, the Internal Complaints Committee can receive all kinds of complaints, but they rarely follow the spirit of the law. Abhimanyu Tiwari, who is a lawyer practicing in Delhi, has experience of the hostility of companies when faced with a complaint of sexual harassment with his clients.
Now, again, the reality of this is very different. In reality, these committees are hardly, I would not term them as victim friendly. Most of these committees are constituted with a prejudice which is tilting towards the male. Most of these committees are constituted by the institution itself, so the institution does not have any real motivation to come to the truth of the matter. As far as the institution is concerned, it would always subserve the institution better if it was swept under the rug, if things didn't really get out, if the institution was not maligned, which is why we saw a fair number of media houses in the Me Too movement act what can only be termed as atrociously towards Me Too allegations, which were put on their editors, on their sub-editors, on their employees. The committee has always wanted to exclude contractual employees, always gone ahead to exclude interactions between its employees which happened outside of the workplace. And in most cases, the committee will always give a very limited explanation or definition to the workplace, because it is in the committee's interest or in the institution's interest to sweep the complaint out of its own jurisdiction, to say that we had nothing to do with it, we don't want to decide it. If this person is held guilty by a court of law, we will fire him or we will not fire him, but you know, we are not wanting to investigate. We don't want to get our hands dirty. So the workplace definition has been restricted in whatever few cases that I have encountered.
In companies with very small number of staff or households with a one or two person staff, having such committees is seen as impractical. The law makes the provision of a local complaints committee for the benefit of such employees. The local complaints committee should be set up in every district. As per the law, this committee should comprise a nodal officer from every block, taluka or tehsil to receive complaints and forward them to the concerned local committee with 7 days of receiving it. This provision is most relevant for domestic workers and other kinds of informal labourers. However, such workers barely have access to such committees. A 2018 study done by Martha Farwell Foundation and Society for Participatory Research in Asia shows that most districts in India do not have any mechanism for the informal sector. Out of 655 districts they wrote to, only 29% replied they have formed the local complaints committee. Around 15% replied saying they had not done so. And majority, a 56%, did not respond at all. This was published in a recent report by Human Rights Watch on the subject. The law places an onus on the woman to file a complaint soon after the incident. Whether it is the internal complaint committee or the local complaints committee, the complaint should be made within the 3 months of the last incident. This can be extended to another 3 months only if the committee is satisfied about the circumstances which prevented the woman from filing the complaint soon. Unfortunately, the law mandates that the complaint has to be written. The victim is supposed to file 6 copies of a written complaint with supporting documents, including names and addresses of witnesses. If the victim is unable to make a complaint, if she is sick or mentally disturbed, for instance, her legal heir or such other person can file the complaint on her behalf. The members from the internal complaint committee or local complaints committee can also assist her in writing the complaint. The rules in the law also say that both parties cannot bring a legal representative to the official hearing of the complaint. It means that the woman is expected to undergo the ordeal of complaining and sitting before a committee on her own.
In the Sexual Harassment of Women at the Workplace Act of 2013, they've also said that the victim cannot be represented by a legal counsel, which has massive consequences. What people don't understand is that this is still an act of parliament. So everything done under this act has a degree of sanctity to it. Now, if a lawyer is not present, then you lose a fair number of your rights. For example, I'll give you an example that cross-examination of the victim is not prohibited under the Act. Now, we discussed Section 146 of the Indian Evidence Act, which gives a fair number of protection to the victim of a sexual offence, and as in which questions can be asked of her, whether her morality or whether her background or whether her past actions can be brought up during cross-examination. You know, the quintessential, she was asking for it, defense. Now, if a lawyer is not present, a normal victim will not understand or even know about the protections that exist qua her.
Tiwari said that consulting a lawyer, even if he or she cannot be present in the hearing, is a good idea.
Every case will be different and how the act applies to each case will be different. So having a lawyer at your side will help. The Act has certain things which the committee is mandated to do, which is, for example, it has to ensure that the victim and the accused run into each other as less as possible. It has to ensure that the accused does not have position of power over the victim. So all of these requests can be made with a little bit of legal help. This is not an informal inquiry. What you say before this committee will have a massive impact of what happens in the criminal trial if it's going on. So let's say if you, in the front of the committee, you say, no, no, nothing happened and I forgive him and it wasn't too big an issue. And in the criminal trial, then these words will come back and haunt you. So that is something that people, I think, often forget, that this is a statutory committee. It is something under our legal superstructure.
What Tiwari means is that statements made before the Internal Complaints Committee can be used as evidence in a criminal trial if the victim has also filed a criminal complaint. Let's talk about what happens after the inquiry on the case is over. If the allegation is proven before the committee, it can recommend to the employer to take action against the accused in accordance with service rules. The central government rules talk even of suspension, or the committee can also recommend that salary or wages of the accused as is considered appropriate to the woman. The compensation can be determined based on the mental trauma, pain, and emotional distress the victim suffered. The Act also acknowledges that the victim could lose career opportunities or may need psychological treatment. The law asks the committee to look at these factors while determining compensation. The victim can file an appeal if she is not satisfied with the committee's recommendation or final report. She can either appeal in a labour court or higher court as she wishes. Women's rights activists say that there is very little check on the institution itself to implement the Act. The institution is supposed to first constitute an internal complaints committee, hear complaints, and take appropriate action. They're also supposed to file an annual report about the complaints heard before the Internal Complaints Committee and the action taken. Failing these duties can attract a fine of 50,000 rupees. One of the punishments is also that the district authorities can cancel the license or not renew it. But no other procedure has been laid out to take action against these companies. The structure of complaint redressal itself is flawed, and that becomes the biggest failing in the law.
Now, you have to understand that the Act, one of the biggest criticisms which I pointed out earlier, is that the committee which is to do all the adjudication is always going to be loyal to the institution. These are people of the institution. They are supposedly free as a committee, but in real life, they're getting their salaries from the institution. Their promotions are to be done by the institutions. Their postings are to be done by the institutions. So to say that they are free is ridiculous.
Our intention in pointing out flaws of this law is not to dampen the spirits of the women who want to complain against their perpetrators. We want women to know their rights as well and its limitations before they proceed. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Solo India Show's Every Indian Checklist. Do listen to our previous episodes on what happens when you file an FIR for a sexual crime and how to protect yourself from cybercrimes. To know as and when an episode is released, do subscribe to our newsletter on soloindia.in, and you can also follow us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or any other podcast app.